Everybody have the thing? The Argender?
The what?
The Argendar?
Huh? The Starfs.
The Stuffs, the Argenda.
Okay. Oh, I thought they were the Smurfs relatives. The Starfs.
Yes.
Kind of like the Snorks.
I agree. What?
They're the Smurfs in space. Starfs. Just like Snorks, the Smurfs underwater.
You require mental aid.
Your face requires mental aid.
Your face is mental.
Yeah, that's right. See, I thought about it first.
It's not your face.
Stop talking about the face. Yes.
Yes. My okay. God, she's a moron.
Good morning! It is Sunday. Welcome to America's Top Try Games. What?
Yeah.
Podcast right. And shit.
Dancing yes. With the podcast.
Yeah.
Now celebrating 61 fabulous episodes.
61. I am your host, Mr. Troupon / Austin. Today I am with the usual crop of females, except for one. We have Alfred.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew.
We have Tony.
Shaboopy, shaboopy, shaboopy.
Shaboopy.
That girl is hard to get.
Shaboopy. Shaboopy.
Shaboopy.
Shaboopy.
She's here, shaboopy.
Shaboopy. Ethan cannot be with us today. He's taking care of some stuff. We wish him well. He will be back hopefully next week. Mm-hmm. So we actually had a topic lined up today that I wanted all four of us to talk about. That was Dennis Dyack's ranting and raving about a one console future. Since Ethan's not here, we're not going to do that. We're going to save it for him. Wait till he comes back. Instead, we'll talk a little bit about a question that was asked last week. What games that sucked that you might, you know, improve, how you would improve it. And this was inspired by the bag of shittity shit. but as usual, first we will go with the noose. And then we'll go into that, and then we'll go into the mailbag. Since we're doing that particular topic, I don't think there's a need for a bag of shit because we'll be talking about a shitty bag.
Yeah.
So, Tony, since it's been a while, what have you been playing?
Same game, Final Fantasy XII, and now Ooh. I'm in my 75th hour of it.
Oh my god.
And nice. Nowhere near done with the game, because I keep on doing side shit, and let's see, my guys are level 55, and,
55.
Still getting their asses kicked.
Asa
I have
kicker.
No idea why. That game is hard, man. It's really, really hard. Some of the enemies, the battles are just insane. Later on, I'm going to have to level up my other guys, so that's going to take another 40 hours. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So to anybody saying, anybody out there saying, oh, Final Fantasy XII is going to be easy, you can just set it to automatic and it plays the game for you, this is false?
No, you could do that if you're a shit player. I mean, if you want to do that, if you want to embarrass yourself with that stupid-ass comment, then go for it. I think it involves a lot of strategy. Like, you could set your gambits up to pretty much take the battle out of your hands, but sometimes there's special circumstances. For instance, the elementals, which yeah. will fuck you up if you don't have your gambits set right, or you have to put a new gambit in, or just battle manually. That's pretty much the only way you're gonna deal with these elementals. They are hard. They're tricky. And as I said, unless you have your gambit set up in a way where your guys will take care of your status effects as well as any other things mm-hmm. That may come up, like you dying, you will be decimated in less than a second. So right. automatic, yes. Automatic beatdown, indeed. You know, so I don't believe in any yeah. of that bullshit. Yes, you could play the game on automatic. It does take the battle out of your hands, but only right. a really good player is going to be able to battle some of these things.
Right. So yeah, I've heard that that was just a reactionary comment, and then like all it really does is take care of the mindless shit, like normal battles, and then when you get into the real tough stuff, then it becomes fun. So I'm not worried about that anymore.
Oh yeah.
Especially now that you've verified that, I'm happy that it's, you know, that it's still fun. So
oh yeah, it's very intense. There's one thing I would say though, and that is there's a lot of missions here that are mindless. Like, for instance, in Arcadia, in order to take a taxi ride, you got to get what's called Pinewood Shops. And in order mm-hmm. to do that, you got to go ask a person a question. You'll have one person that gives you a response, and then you have to find a person around the town that will respond to that question. That's
kind of like a scavenger hunt, pet game.
Yeah, it's a waste of fucking time is what it is. It's not even fun, you know? So, you know, just little bullshit like that. But otherwise, the game is amazing.
Right, right.
Cool.
Alfredo! Oh, I've been playing Metro Prime 3. I know this because I cheated and I looked in your email. So, yes. What have you been playing?
I played Metro Prime 3 yesterday.
Yes!
For about 3 hours straight. And it's a wonderful game. The control is freaking impeccable.
Really?
It's like, you know, yeah, man. It's you sit around and you just have the remote just dangling, chilling.
Said dangle.
Yeah, I said dangle, like a dongle. And, you know, you're walking around with the nunchuck and whatnot. You can put that hand anywhere. Who cares? And then you're pointing at the screen, and you're just, like, flying around, moving the remote across the screen to shoot things. And the power beam is incredibly fast, which is excellent.
Is that a cop? Is that an ambulance? What the hell is that?
It's either a cop or an ambulance. He's doing the same sound. Whoop, 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 whoop. Anyway.
Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage 2. Whoop, whoop. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right.
Jesus Christ.
So, like, the action is really fast where
cool. You're
fighting space pirates and stuff like that. And you're jumping around, hiding behind walls and stuff. And you just run around. Sometimes I just go crazy. I'd like go ghetto on them. I just go right up in their face with the charge beam. Like,
wow! Right, so ghetto.
Yeah, and then you get the grapple. What do you call it? The grapple lasso. In the beginning of the game, it's like the first power up you get. Besides the missile. Oh, and Austin, you don't start with the missile until you just start with the bombs.
Right, right. And then you get the missile really early.
The missile, yeah,
and they home in already.
Yeah, and they home in exactly. And so with the grapple lasso, you got these doors that have like blast shields, and then you have these guys with the shields and stuff like that. What you do is the grapple comes up, you hold Z to lock onto it, and you throw the nunchuck.
Yeah.
Without letting it go from your hands, folks. And then and then Samus pulls up her hand, and then she like throws her hand forward, and the beam comes out, and it grabs on it, and she pulls her hand like toward her right side, because it's her left hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the nunchuck and you throw it back, keeping it in your hand, folks. And then she throws the thing off of the
into the TV.
It's cool. It's like it's like she throws off the shield, or she'll throw off a door, or she'll throw off a panel, and it's really cool. And all of the gestures are really nice. Like using the morph ball jump while flicking the remote up is really cool.
Woo-hoo.
Instead of waiting for a bomb, so you can like there's this one part where you gotta like kind of go through this little corridor as a morph ball, but there's something shooting at you,
so you can avoid it.
Yeah, you can avoid it. Most of the time, because in that area, most of the things you have to do is you have to activate a jet using a bomb and stuff like that. So, but that's the smaller ones. You just flick and it goes whoop, and then you jump up and stuff. It's really cool. And then I was playing some Guitar Hero 2 for the league that I just joined in GameSpot.
Yes. If any, let me just pimp that for a little bit. If anybody is a GameSpot member, one of our contributors, Zaps, aka Ben Lee, is starting his third season of the Guitar Hero 2 league. So if you want more information on that, you can email us, and I'll send you the link. If you're not a GameSpot member, just sign up for a free account and just, you know, do that league thing. I mean, you don't have to, like, use GameSpot or whatnot. I'll just let them know that you are interested in getting slaughtered by the people on there, because there's some really freaking good people in that league. Okay, continue.
I didn't really get to play much of anything else this week because I've been working so hard. I've been playing a little bit of Picross at work, which is the only thing I can actually have time for now.
Right. Right, right. Go ahead.
And you?
Oh. My play for Wicca! Let's see. I have been trying to finish Prince of Persia, The Sands of Grime, and I recently purchased for $10, six of those bucks came from my sale of Need for Speed Carbon for PS3, which I hated. I bought Outrun 2006 for PSP, and it's awesome.
2006.
Okay. You remember how the Outrun 2 came out for the arcade and then it was ported to the Xbox?
Right.
A quasi sequel, I guess I would call it an expansion pack for me. It was called Outrun 2006 Coast to Coast. And so it's basically the same game but with slightly different stages and like a whole shitload of different modes just kind of tacked onto it. So
are the graphics clean?
For a PSP game, they're pretty clean.
I don't like that statement.
Oh, it's PSP.
Yeah.
I thought it was the PS2 one, because I know that the PS2 one wasn't called 2006. Okay.
No, they oh, wait, let me see. I don't know. Maybe they could all be called 2006. I don't know. I thought that, no. For PSP, and when I say for a PSP game, I say only because, like, you can tell that it's a, you know, PSP game. I mean, there's some geometry things that are a little bit less, but it you don't notice it. So Tony, you can rest easy. You don't really notice it when you're racing fast. I mean, like, uh-huh. When you pause it and you look closely at the cars, then you're like, oh, this is not an Xbox game. It looks slightly worse, but it still looks really good in motion. It does get a little framey.
Uh-huh.
When, like, there's a lot of stuff going around and you're going really fast.
Right.
But it's not that bad. It's not to the point where it's, like, kind of unplayable. A Burnout, what was it? Burnout Legends for PSP does get framey too, and it's
right,
still,
yeah.
You know, it goes rock solid otherwise. So
let me ask
it's
you
still
something.
It's still good. Sure.
I'm sorry. Is it as good looking as Wipeout XL?
XL or Pure. Pure
Wipeout
is a PSP.
Pure. Sorry. Yeah, Wipeout Pure. That's what I meant.
It depends on who you ask, because honestly, I don't like anything about Wipeout Pure. I just don't. Like,
oh,
I
me
really,
neither, except for the graphics. The graphics are
amazing. I don't, like, I think they're technically good, uh-huh. But I don't like them either. Like, there's something about them that just, like, maybe it's just the design or the art style that I just don't look, you know, I just don't like looking at Wipeout Pure. Whereas in this one, okay, to be fair, I guess this Outrun 2006 is less technically savvy.
Okay.
Like, there's less shit going on, but it looks cleaner, and it looks, uh-huh. It's more pleasant to look at. Because it's Outrun, and it's, you know, it's on a beach, and you have the palm trees. And you get,
right.
So it's give or take. So, yes, Wipeout Pure is better in terms of technology.
What about, like, Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer looks better. Ridge Racer looks a bit better. It's got more nice lighting effects and all that stuff.
God damn it.
Well, I mean, I don't think they... I think, like, across all platforms with the Outrun, they just kind of took it in and slapped it in. It's not for lack of power, but, like, it still looks good. Ridge Racer looks better, but Outrun still looks good.
Right.
And the drifting is less crazy and you know, requires a little bit more skill. So sometimes I'd rather play Outrun than Ridge Racer. So it's good,
really?
Though.
Huh. Okay, cool.
And especially because it was $10.
Of course.
So let us move on to the... What, Al?
News.
Sync down.
Before we sync up, hold on. Before we sync up, Al, would you say the Metroid looks the same as a GameCube version, or it's slightly better?
It's more crisp. Definitely more crisp. In comparison, I think I really need to see them on Pro Scan.
Progressive Scan, right.
Okay.
But with the component cables, all these three games look freaking fantastic.
Okay. All right. Okay, sorry,
yeah. I'll actually chip in with what I've seen. The leap from Metroid Prime 1 to Metroid Prime 2 is probably the same improvement from 2 to 3.
Okay.
In that you can notice that some things look better, but it's not like, oh my god, this is fantastic. At the same time, though, it's because, like, a lot of the improvements they did was to the lighting. And so when you get into certain areas, like, there's some really awesome lighting effects. But, you know, not every area has a lot of lighting, so you're not going to see that everywhere. The human character models still look kind of funny.
Oh, really?
faces look kind of funny. They look mm-hmm. GameCube-ish. Environments look better than GameCube.
Okay.
Big, nasty enemies look better than GameCube. They have this kind of weird hazy effect that gives it, like, a kind of depth of field look. So it does look like it's doing some more processing. Whether or not you like that type of look, you know, mm-hmm. that difference from person to person, I happen to like it.
Okay.
And the geometry is a little better, and the textures are sharper. And actually, after the cast, you can take a look at this pretty interesting feature that GameSpot did on, like, the comparison between the two games.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually pretty cool. Like, they take some of the what's its face? They take some of the graphics from both. It's called Metroid versus Metroid. and here.
Cool. All right, I'll look at it after.
Yeah, or if you want to look at it now and, like...
No, because I don't want to lag up the...
Okay. Know. The COD Pass. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. noose. And we're going to try to burrow through this really quickly because of the insanity of some of these topics. Okay, the first one from Wired and Game Life blog. Susan Arendt says, Robot Chicken creators team with rapper to develop game.
Oh, my God.
So, the worst Dancing with the Stars contestant ever, rap star Master P. Make him say, is teaming up with Robot Chicken creator Seth Green and Matthew Seinreich. Is it Seinreich or Seinreich?
Yeah, Seinreich.
To develop a game reminiscent of The Sims. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Green and Seinreich's Stupid Monkey Productions will be working with Shadow Machine Films on the game entitled Play the Industry. In Play the Industry, you work to gain entertainment industry stardom as an athlete, hip-hop artist, or entertainment broker. As Seinreich explains, you can play agent, you can play mogul, you can play all sorts of different characters. It's as yet undecided whether the game will be available on disc or through download only, or will be good at all, which is my addition. Stupid Monkey and Shadow Machine are working on the script now while they finish up while they line up financing. You'd think Master P could part with a necklace or two to raise the necessary cash, but perhaps they have sentimental value. I'm closing this window. I don't even want to look at this anymore. You guys are free to comment, but I'm moving on in my head.
Next.
Stupid.
Okay.
Thumbs up or thumbs down, Tony?
What? For the next
that
one?
News. That news. No, that first news.
Oh, that news? Thumbs up for Seth Green and Matthew Seinreich. Thumbs down for Master P. And thumbs down for the game.
Yeah, they should just go back to Robot Chicken.
Exactly.
Next news, again from Wired's Game Life blog, from Kiss Color this time. Guitar Hero Wii won't launch with online play, and this is clarified later, but Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock won't feature online play for Wii at launch, but it's possible down the line, says Red Octane's Kaiser Huang. There's no online for PS3 and Xbox 360. There is online for PS3 and Xbox 360. There won't be online initially for Wii, but we are working with Nintendo to see how we can get those features in. We'll see if they're able to patch it to include online play after the game launches in October, and I doubt they'll be able to, but I don't think it'll matter. This is going to be pretty huge on the Wii.
Are they, like, fucking afraid of just online play in general? I mean, like, what's going on?
Nintendo, well, Nintendo historically has been really, well, yeah, there's that whole cocky attitude, and then there's the other thing is that, like, you know, they're still working on it. They're still working on getting it up. But this is clarified later. We'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm. That'll be perfect for you.
So no one's sad. No one be sad. This next news comes from maxconsole.net regarding a Wikipedia entry. I don't know if – I don't think we discussed this last time, but EA was caught editing their Wikipedia entry about EA and, like, getting rid of the whole scandal with the overtime pay and all that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and because anybody can edit Wikipedia entries because that's the nature of Wikipedia, that's just how it is. It sucks, but unfortunately that's how it is. But recently – here's Max Console's take on the news, posted by Malak. LOL. SEEE caught red-handed editing Wikipedia Halo 3 entry. Insults graphics. SEC has been caught editing a Wikipedia entry on Halo 3. Sony added, quote, Halo 3 won't look any better than Halo 2 to the entry, although the page has been corrected and locked from further alterations. The IP address, which was uncovered by Wikipedia as editing the respective page, is 217.18.23.2, and it goes straight back to SCEE's Liverpool Studios.
Owned.
Here's the original stuff. Let's see. It says, Halo 3, the third game in the best-selling game franchise, is highly anticipated under development by Bungie Studios for the Xbox 360 and is expected to set a new high-water mark for games. The edited version says, Halo 3, the third game in the best-selling Xbox franchise, Halo, is highly anticipated under development by Bungie Studios for the Xbox 360 and is expected to set a new high-water mark for games, although it won't look any better than Halo 2. and I think I'm just glad that they locked this down and ceased it from being edited any further.
That is so childish.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
We should just go in and make a Wikipedia entry for Try Games and just be like, yeah, we're awesome. IGN sucks. Any comments or should we move on?
No, we're good.
Thanks.
Moving on to GameSpot's rumor control. Aerosmith headlining Guitar Hero 4? The source. An article on Aerosmith's next album on Billboard.com states that Guitar Hero 4 will be dedicated to the Boston band's music. what we heard. Since its inception, the Guitar Hero series has followed a trend of increasing diversity. Guitar Hero 2 provided more songs from more bands than the original, and represented a broader range of music than its predecessors. While the full track list has not been confirmed yet, Guitar Hero 3 promises to continue that trend with a sampling of international hits and more than 70 songs in total. 70? Holy shit. 70 songs in total. So when Billboard.com reported that Guitar Hero 4 would be built on Aerosmith's music, it seemed, no offense to the band, like a step backwards. This isn't some room for misinterpreting the report, but not a whole lot. And I think the news poster is basically saying that like they don't want the whole game to be dedicated to just Aerosmith.
Exactly.
Quote, besides the album, Aerosmith is also working closely with the makers of Guitar Hero 4, quote, end quote, the article states, quote, which will be dedicated to the Boston band's music. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about the technical part of it, but artistically we're working hand in hand. Aerosmith has had a prior association with the series, having contributed its song Last Child to the Guitar Hero 2 soundtrack. Still, the idea of handing over the next full-fledged installment in the series to a single band is borderline absurd. Mm-hmm. But even with Perry's former status as one of the hard-partying toxic twins along with lead singer Steven Tyler, he's still not likely to concoct the idea of an Aerosmith-exclusive Guitar Hero from nowhere. It's much more likely that Activision would produce a Guitar Hero spin-off for the band, something along the lines of Guitar Hero Encore Rocks the 80s, or perhaps in an answer to Rock Band's downloadable albums. That's what I think is going to happen. It's just they're just saying that it's going to be downloadable. That's I don't think they would ever take a full game and say, oh, this is all going to be My Chemical Romance.
I was about to bring up that band. Jesus Christ.
Oh, there were some comments on my blog about some people kind of upset about us making fun of My Chemical
Romance.
Are
you serious? How old are they?
One guy was like, we don't all cut ourselves. Like, I'm perfectly normal. I just like their music. I was just like, Al was kidding. We're all kidding.
God.
We're not serious. But not maybe really. We should be serious.
Yeah, really. Get a ball bag, okay? Go grow some nuts. Listen to My Chemical. Was that a guy? That was a guy.
I don't know.
Oh, it was.
I honestly don't know. It was just, I mean, it was a forum post, and, you know, usernames you can't really tell.
Oh,
so.
Okay, all right.
I guess, like, I haven't interacted with him much.
Right.
He is normal, so, or he or she or whatever. So I just found it funny. I was just like, are people really taking this seriously? They need to get alive. Yeah, get alive, guys. Okay, moving on.
But listen to the podcast.
Tom Morello, a villain in Guitar Hero 3. This comes from Tom Magrino at GameSpot. Rage Against the Machine, Axeman tells Rolling Stone he will be a boss in the forthcoming rhythm game. Pre-order bundle revealed. Mm. So this is two news things. First, what's it called? First is the third epic rocker to lend his signature twang in person to Guitar Hero 3 will reportedly be Rage Against the Machine's Tom Morello. Mm-hmm. Speaking to Rolling Stone, Morello reportedly confirmed his appearance as a boss character, saying, whenever I play Guitar Hero, my opponent always kicks my ass on my own riffs. Now that I'm actually in the game, I hope the digital me will win once in a while. A Red Octane rep has since confirmed Morello's presence in the game, noting that tracks that involve Morello will be announced shortly. So there's Morello. And then there's some more news on Guitar Hero 3. Red Octane has updated its site with a new pre-order bundle for the upcoming game. The Guitar Hero 3 Elite Bundle will include the game, a wireless Les Paul guitar controller, a custom faceplate, a Guitar Hero 3 t-shirt, a 2-inch wide guitar strap, a keychain, and a sticker pack. The bundle is currently listed for the $199 price. Wait, no. $109.99 price. $109.99 price on the X. In other words, $110.
Yes.
So I'm just going to say that round up. $110 on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And $100 on Wii.
It's minus $10 for no internet play.
Yeah. Though we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. And just before we continue, one of the songs has been confirmed as Bulls on Parade.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Sorry. And it's also $10 less because, like, Xbox and 360 and PS3 games have been more expensive in general. And Nintendo has said, fuck you, we're going to save you money and not give you online. But that'll be clarified later. next news again from GameSpot's Tor Thorsen, the voice of Nord. Analyst says the $499 80GB PS3 will happen by year's end. Great, this is another Michael Pachter thing. When he said that the price drop for the PS3 would boost sales immensely for the PS3, they didn't. Mm. Anyway, Sony had a bumpy ride at the E3 Media and Business Summit. The event was kicked off with the company announcing that the 60GB PlayStation 3 was being reduced to $499. alongside the introduction of a new 80GB model at $599. The move was widely hailed by analysts as a long-overdue attempt to boost the console sales, but on E3's last day, Sony confirmed that the 60GB model was no longer in production, leaving the 80GB as the sole SKU when suppliers of its elder sibling run out, which means that it wasn't a price drop, it was just a fire sale. Everything was go!
Mm-hmm.
Today, though, two of the industry's more prominent analysts predicted that the days of the $599 PS3 are numbered. In a note sent out this morning, Wedbush Morgan Securities' Michael Pachter and Edward Wu predicted the 80GB console will also see $100 knocked off its price point before the all-important holiday season begins.
Wow.
The PS3 will remain at $499, with the 80GB model replacing the 60GB model at the same price point, said Pachter. Now, I don't doubt that this is good reasoning. I'm just saying that Pachter has been wrong maybe like two or three times in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he's been right about is Grand Theft Auto's delay, and he said that's because they're scared of Halo, which they're not. So, but
yes. Can you also blame that on the PS3?
Yes, yes. comments, or can we move on?
Nope.
Well, if Apple did it, maybe Sony could do it again.
True, true.
Poor Apple. Poor people who bought that iPhone. Poor guy.
At least they got at least $100 out of it.
No, but you know what? They think that it's awesome, so you can't tell them otherwise. So, according to themselves, they think it's great. So, what's this one? Kotaku's Mark Wilson says, 2K on Bioshock. Why should your brother play for free? To explain this, let me read the article. There's been a lot of shit about Bioshock going on, like... anybody who's played it on the PC knows that there's this whole thing where you can only install it on two separate PCs before I have to uninstall it to install it somewhere else. Which, to be honest, I don't know why people are bitching about, but anyways. And there's also the whole thing about the widescreen being strange. Like, widescreen doesn't show you more, it shows you less, because it crops off the top and bottom of the screen. Also, there were some problems getting your install verification, and then there were things about the ATI drivers not showing black levels, and like you just drop through a shadow in the floor because there was no geometry. Now there's more. On the 2K boards, one community member found that when his brother attempted to play Bioshock on another account on the same PC, the software prompted him for a serial number. He asked as to whether or not the serial would count towards another one of his 5 activations. This is 2K's response. The other way to view this is one user has purchased the game, not the whole family. So why should your brother play for free?
Because that's pretty fucking low.
That's wrong. That to me is wrong. You buy the game, you should be entitled to play it however, you know.
Exactly. Like,
now the whole thing is this. Like, I understand the whole you can only install it twice, which they've now bumped it up to 5 times. You can only install it 5 times before you decide to uninstall it. And like, you can install it to 5 separate computers.
Okay.
Traditionally, you could install a game on any computer and just take the disc to your friend's house.
Right.
And play it. Now you can only do that 5 times. You can only take it to 5. But really, honestly, like, one, are you really going to take Bioshock around to 5 people's houses?
No.
You know?
You're going to tell those fuckers to buy the game.
And buy the fucking game. And number two, like... You know how many pirates are out there. I'm not going to justify any Gestapo tactics, but really, I mean, you know someone's going to crack that shit, and they're just covering their asses. But different users on the same computer is kind of low.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Now I understand, because I couldn't quite understand what that other account
So, yeah, say, for example, you created an account for yourself and an account for Evelyn. If you install Bioshock in your account...
You mean like Windows user name,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Got
and
it.
And you logged out, and Evelyn logged in, and she tried to play Bioshock. She would be asked for a serial number, and that might count towards the activation. Yeah.
Fucked up.
And that's kind of stupid.
Up. So
I mean, that's splitting hairs now.
Well, no, that means also that if you have 6 people in your house that want to play it at any given time, only 5 are going to be able to play, and one's going to have to play on somebody else's account.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Exactly, that's stupid. Now, to play devil's advocate, and this is, I do actually do truly believe this, you know, in the other sense, that it's not that big of a deal to just say, hey, play on my account. It really isn't.
Right.
But I will say that there are some users out there who really lock down their account shit. Like, let's say, I don't know. Let's say that,
Let's say that somebody's just really possessive about their shit.
Yeah, or
they
like...
They want somebody in their account, can they download all sorts of... objectionable material.
Or you've got a 17-year-old kid who you allow to play games like Bioshock, but there's some stuff on your account that you just don't want them messing with. Like, right. If your 17-year-old kid is besides that, like you know, account tax account information, like you do your taxes on your fucking account. You don't want your kid to access that. You know, things like that. Yeah. It's just annoying. I mean, I think
your kid to know about how much you're lying, about how much you make.
Yeah. And I was only talking about Biggie Smalls.
That's why you go hungry, Timmy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or Master P, make him say, oh. But it's like, I mean, again, I think that it's not something people should be screaming about, but at the same time, I think the level to which 2K games is starting to split hairs is kind of obnoxious at this point.
But they did a spin on this, didn't they? Later on in this letter.
No,
that was it. That was their spin. Their spin was, why should your brother play for free? That was it.
No, it says, please note that the forum moderator has been incorrectly quoted as a 2K employee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, individual JT Tech 2K.
Okay, good.
For an
I'm glad then. I'm glad. Good. Thanks for clarifying that. That's good then. Yeah. Because like, good. Yeah, that's like that moderator must have gotten fired or smacked or some shit. Moving on to more fun stuff. Another Wired story from Chris Kohler. Lair designer Julian Egbrecht says, our controls work for me 80% of the time.
Nice.
Wow. Factor 5's Julian Egbrecht says that Lair's terrible motion controls work just fine for him most of the time. The matter circles back to that question of motion controlling with the Dragon's Flight. When asked by GameFile how often the yank back to do a 180 turn works for him, Egbrecht replied, about 8 out of 10, which is the same ratio that I get to Wii Sports Tennis when I try to do a backspin.
Oh.
Yeah, even when the game's creative director can't do moves one-fifth of the time, maybe something's wrong. For us here at Game Life, it was more like half the time. Let me explain something. When you're playing a game like Lair, that is supposed to be like a flight game, like a Panzer Dragoon / Rogue Squadron game, in which the controls really should be precise. And the 180 move is something that really needs to work 100% of the time in the heat of
kill
battle.
Yourself.
Versus a game like Wii Tennis, which mimics the real game of tennis, in which you can't always do a backhand because it relies on your athletic ability, and sometimes you'll mess it up. The comparison is moot.
There's sorry. Not even a comparison. Huh? I mean, that's like comparing apples and dicks. I don't even understand. I mean, I don't understand. You're telling me you're gonna judge how your game is, you know, as just as faulty as another sports game when your game is an action flight adventure.
No. The overall like need to compare one motion control game to another is valid. That's fine. Like, if he wants to bitch about it, that's fine. I'm just saying that the specific action that he's talking about,
yeah, the 180.
Retarded.
I'm pretty sure
now,
that's important.
If he was saying that when I swing my Wii remote,
yeah,
in tennis, and right. I and my character doesn't swing 20% of the time, yes, that's bad. That's pretty bad.
Right,
your character
right.
should swing
right.
every time. But he's talking about a backhand. And my whole thing was like, when you try to do a backhand, like or let's say you try to do a crossover dribble in basketball, or you try to do a specific move, you're going to slip up sometime. So when you take a realistic sports game into that type of context and have a really specific move, you know, never mind the fact that you're trying to deflect attention from your own game by bitching about something else.
That's
dumb. That's
what I was getting at. It's like, why compare it to Wii Tennis when you have Monkey Ball Golf, you know, to fall back on? I mean, that would have been a better comparison.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
That,
you're right.
That
you're right.
Been a much
that makes sense. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Or compare it to Call of Duty, where if you like try to plant the bomb, it doesn't work. That was poor. Like in Call of Duty 3, when you tried to plant the bomb, or when you tried to freaking like, what was the other thing? When you tried to drive
the
Jeep.
Oh yeah, driving.
Oh my god!
You told me it was so overly sensitive and retarded.
Yeah, it was dumb. But yeah. So buy Lair, everybody. Oh my god! There's some like player reviews on websites and like forums saying like, oh, people who can't play Lair, they're just old school gamers that can't grasp the new generation. And I'm just like,
idiot.
You fanboys are the same one who are saying that Nintendo Wii is not the way to go because motion controls are stupid. So stop being hypocrites. Anyway, that's pretty funny, and I'll rent Lair one day and bitch about it. And if it's and to be fair, if it's good, I will call out reviewers on that.
Right.
It probably won't be.
No. Nope.
Wait. I'm gonna rent it and bring it to your house. That's
okay. Good. Then I don't have to spend money.
But you need a six axis though, so you have to spend money.
Well, you have to rent me a six axis then.
F you.
F you. Face you.
Yeah.
Farce.
Face you too.
Fark you. Moving on.
Frat.
Rock band touring America. This is from Kotaku's Brian Ascrest. Haven't played Rock Band? Good thing a giant semi-truck will be bringing Rock Band to the masses. On September 9th, the 24-city American tour will kick off in Las Vegas. NTV is even going to make you famous according to its Game Drop blog. If you think you're destined for Rock Band stardom, you're in luck. You can test your skills and participate in the nationwide casting call at MTV's Rock Off events. Any rockers without stage fright who play on the Rock Band tour bus stage will be captured on tape for consideration by MTV casting directors. Two bands will get picked and flown to New York City to spend FaceTime with a real rock band for official rocker training. Let's see if we can get some press passes. Then they'll play on MTV's Total Request Live. Never mind about the press passes. I don't want to go on TRL. And the winning outfit will get to open for a surprise supergroup at the Rock Band launch concert. And that'll probably be the Harmonix Band. Or maybe Band Camaro. God. Hit the jump for the tour dates. September 9th through 16th, Las Vegas. September 13th through 16th, Milwaukee. September 20th to 23rd, Sacramento. September 20th to 23rd, Columbus, Ohio. September 27th to 30th, Seattle, Washington. September 27th to 30th, Chicago, Illinois. October 4th to 7th, Portland, Oregon. And 4th to 7th is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. October 11th through 14th, Oakland, California, and Cleveland, Ohio.
There are two places at once.
Yeah. October 17th through 21, San Francisco, California. October 18th through 21, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
October 25th through 28, San Diego.
Yeah.
Which also means whale's vagina. Also on October 25th to 28th, Baltimore, Maryland. Slunks. October 31st through November 18th. Wow, that's a long time. Los Angeles, California. November 1st through 4th, New York, New York. That's right, bitches. November 8th through 11th, Boston, Massachusetts. The 15th to the 18th, New Jersey. Ew. 27th to the 30th, Phoenix, Arizona. 27th through December 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. December 6th through 9th, Austin, Texas, and New Orleans. Wait, let me finish. Let me finish.
I am.
Oh, I thought you were going, but.
No, I'm doing it on purpose.
Oh. December 13th through 16th, and these are the last two, Dallas and Orlando, Florida. What were you butting about, butt boy?
But the game comes out November 20th. Why tour afterward?
Well, some people might not know about it, or they still want to give people the opportunity to play it, like, live or some shit.
I guess.
I mean, it's not just about the launch. It's about MTV wants to get that freaking publicity out there. It's MTV. What do you expect?
I have a question about this game.
I don't have an answer, but I might. What's up?
Maybe you know about it. How are they doing rock drums with no double kick?
What's a double kick?
You know, the bass pedal. There's only
bass pedal. They have a bass pedal.
Yeah,
but they don't have two.
Oh, well, how do you do a guitar without more than 5 frets?
It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, songs that contain double bass and stuff like that, and there's a lot of rock songs that do. That's kind of like, how are they going to pull that off?
They'll find a way. I mean, it's not something that, like...
Going to wear your leg out. That's what it's going to do.
Well, they might do something where you just have to hold it down, or they just won't code it that way on the, what's it called?
Oh, okay.
You know? Uh-huh. Like what? How does a double kick work? You gotta help me out.
You alternate.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you hit it once and it hits it twice.
No. It's a bass pedal for each leg. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So like and also they don't have a hi-hat thing either. So
what's
I'm wondering
that?
How that's good. The hi-hat is the thing that goes. You know, you open and close it to.
Yeah, I think that's the fourth drum pad though. Like some of the pads double up and it.
But they don't have a pedal for it.
That's a pedal thing. Oh, yeah. Well, it all depends on how they code it. Just like Guitar Hero, just like a guitar where it's only 5 frets. And like I know that yes, they said that that drums are supposed to be closer to the real thing. That's because like the setup is more realistic, and you could probably learn rhythms that way. But it's not going to mimic everything like 100%.
Right, right.
You know, it's just like the Guitar Hero thing. Like I think Al, you mentioned like one band had like a really crazy drum setup, and you're like, how are they going to do that? And they're not. I mean, that's just a simple fact of the matter. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. But more on music games, and this is clarifying the story that we had earlier. Kotaku's Luke Plunk et says, "We Guitar Hero 3 will have online, just no downloadable content yet." Red Octane would like to clarify something. They said that when the Wii version of Guitar Hero had its online balls and a vice, they were talking about downloadable content, not online multiplayer, which is already and is looking good to go.
Wow.
So online play, yes. Downloadable stuff, no.
Who cares?
At least I do. At
well,
least
no,
that's,
if they're gonna package My Chemical Romance, yeah.
Yeah. At least there's a no until Nintendo can get around to announcing some kind of Wii storage device.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem, I think. Like, I'm gonna bitch about this one more time. Nintendo, fuck up. Okay, we needed more internal memory. I filled my internal memory with all these virtual console games, and I have like five of them on my SD card, and I can't play them off the SD card. More memory now. I don't give a shit that you kept the cost down or if it's a mainstream device. I want more memory now. You fucked up.
And then, so there's Uncensored Manhunt.
Yes, next story. Al Reed.
Yeah. Uncensored Manhunt was leaked apparently on the internet. Let me go and get this story up so that I can.
Or not? You can hold stay right there while I read it.
Oh no, I got it.
Okay, liking McLagerson.
I'm good. What? I'm lagging McLagerson now?
Yeah, you're lagging by 5 seconds. Just kidding. Move.
McLaggy pants.
Back.
ProjectManhunt.com is reporting that an early PS2 build of Manhunt 2 has been leaked online.
But
though credited to Rockstar unaffiliated team Slonic.
But.
Huh? The software had to come from somewhere, and YouTube clips are already appearing for public consumption.
But,
not really interesting YouTube clips, might I add. Meaning that this could become a quite literal torrent of bad press for Rockstar, who is finally kinda out of the fire for hot coffee. And just before I continue, I want to say this from Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson on Kotaku.
So I had the release notes, which we really don't care about. Stating on the on the internet,
we will not promote downloading of the illegal stuffs unless it has the neck rapers,
right? And they don't talk about it because the forum that they link to on Kotaku is like, if you talk about this game, we're going to delete your post,
right?
So nice. What's the purpose?
Yes,
yeah, you gonna have to find that shit yourself.
They can't even talk about what's in it.
Oh, not even that.
No, because some people would rather play the game for themselves. And
some people are Leland Yee.
Yeah.
And want to know. Because they're entitled to know. And I'm Leland, and I'm a little wino. Fucking quack.
Quack.
I don't know. That's it for the news. Any last remarks before we move on to the topic of shit?
McRae.
No back of shit today or anything?
Well... Remember, I said at the beginning that because we're answering that question about like out of the bag of shit games, what would you take and what would you improve?
Okay, so then we'll do a bag of shit. And then
but it's like,
but it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, we'll it's the bag of shit, and then we'll like talk about why we'd improve them. So it's not a total bag of shit. We're like throw it in the garbage. It's a bag of shit. We're like, okay, well, this could have been good.
Bag of shit.
This could have been good, but. You know.
Okay, that works for me.
Like you said, instead of saying I would take this game and shoot it,
the silver lining in a bag of shit.
let's move on to it. Man. We are at the main topic / bag of shit, where we will actually, instead of just doing a bag of shit, talk about how we would improve said game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a new game. Like, if you said this in the bag of shit before, you can just bring it back, talk about how you'd improve it. But you have to care enough about the game to improve it.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going first, obviously. So heads or tails. heads is Tony. Tails is Al. Flip coin. 2 out of 3.
I want to hear the ping.
Flip. Okay. Flip. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's go.
No.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Al, you go first.
Steamroller.
Okay, heads. That's Tony. 2 out of 3. So, let's see. Oh, shit. Tails, there's drama.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. It's a coin flipping contest. Shit, it fell on the floor. Wait. Heads, Tony.
God damn it. Okay. No, I actually have one. The game that I put in my bag of shit is Family Guy, the video game for the PSP.
Oh, no.
Awful. Absolutely awful.
thinking
awful,
about your sideburns.
Except for the story, which was kick-ass. Which, it, you know, the game would actually work as an episode, and
right.
it would work well. A lot of funny shit in that game. Brings back a lot of other funny comments from the actual TV show as well. Just
how's
that,
this shy boob?
Just that when you play it, you just feel like you've never played a video game before. That was, you know, just never. Because if you've never played a video game before, you wouldn't notice how really fucking bad it is. It just can't control right. I just get flustered on this because some of the things that you have to do, for instance, like Peter's moves, have been relegated to one button. Just one button, okay?
Just punch. Well,
just punch.
Because it's my side boob.
And there's kind of a delay on the punching and
that's
on
awesome.
Any
I
of
love
the
delays.
Actions. Love that, don't you? Also, just like the camera angles are terrible. And you could move the camera, but you could only move it like a centimeter. And that in Brian's case, where he's doing the stealth missions, yeah, that really, really helps. Thanks a lot. Very well put together game. Piece of shit. What I would do to make it better? Well, one, I would give it controls. And two, I would give it a better camera. One that you could actually rotate, one that you could control.
Now, did you play which system did you play this on? PS2 or
PSP?
PSP. Oh, boy.
But I heard that all of them are pretty much the same, even one on Xbox.
You would think that they would give analog the right analog stick to the camera,
right.
But maybe not.
Right, right. You know, but they didn't do anything as far. They just ported it. With exception to the Xbox version, which is a much cleaner and graphically nicer looking game than the other predecessors, but just horrible game. Horrible. Awful. Terrible.
So the controls are shit. What about like the rest of the game itself, like the level design and like the goals and stuff like that? Do
well,
they
the
need improvement
design,
too, or are they okay? It's just hampered
no,
by the controls.
No, it's like they repeat some of the same backdrops. Some of the puzzles that you got to figure out in Stewie's case are so fucking lame, and the action is just like,
right.
You know, put in with the horrible controls, and you've got one very frustrating game. Okay, and let's not even talk about Brian's missions. Brian's missions is the stupidest thing I've ever saw. I mean, really, it's just horrible. It's just like a stealth mission. So all he has to do is just sneak around without getting caught. But you wind up getting caught by somebody off screen because you can't move the fucking camera. So they catch you, and then you got to start the whole fucking mission over just so you could get caught by the same guy because you can't control the fucking camera. So you got to start from the beginning. Just because, God damn it, what? I fucking hate this game. So yeah, I would change the camera.
So that's the biggest one. The camera is the biggest.
No, camera controls are the biggest one.
And the camera's a second.
Cameras are a very, very huge second, though. I mean, like, it's a terrible, terrible game. Awful. All
right. Al!
Al!
What's up?
What's your game and what are you doing to improve it?
My game is the very first game I got for the PlayStation.
Oh, no.
Not Ridge Racer.
No.
Okay.
Saga Frontier.
Ah!
Saga Frontier has to be one of the worst RPGs in the world. And And it has a very special place in my heart because A, it's my first PlayStation game. And B, I was the only one who wanted to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all my friends back, you know, in 1993 or 4 or whatever,
1996.
Poor guy.
Maybe it's 96. I got the PS1 like really, really late.
97. Do we get it at the same time?
Because
I didn't get mine until like 98 or 99.
Maybe. I think I got it right before I got the Dreamcast.
Okay.
But that game, everybody was like, no, man, don't play it. Don't play it. It's bad. Don't play it. I'm like, come on. It's Saga. I mean, you know, I played through Saga 1 and 2, and I didn't really like 3, so I really didn't really want to play it. And this is theoretically like Saga, 6? Because there were a couple on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, this game, it's going to be good. I can make it. I can do it. And I put in the fucking game. And I turned that motherfucker on, and it's like, choose one of 5 characters. Okay, I'll choose this one. It was like some girl wearing purple. And she was apparently like an alien or something. And she,
Aeolian.
You know, got displaced on the planet and stuff like that. And she had to figure out what was going on, right? So in the beginning of the game, it's okay. You know, you run around, you fight stuff, you gain, mm-hmm. you don't gain experience, you gain skills based on what happens. So like if you get hit, you know,
right.
it's kind of like Final Fantasy 2 for Nintendo or Dawn of Origins, whatever. Now that game I managed to finish, but Saga comes to a point where it's like, okay, you run around and you do your things and you meet some of the other characters that you could choose from and then some of the other characters that are just in the game and you try and finish that person's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say you manage to finish that person's storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to choose one of the other characters and you do their story. And their story, you might actually wind up meeting the first character you played or one of the other characters you played with before. And they have all their items and everything. So that's pretty cool. You know, it's continuity and stuff like that. Even though you can play the stories out of sequence, you can make the story what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So,
next generation!
Here comes where the game just totally craps out. You'll come to a point in the game where you're fighting a monster. It could be a regular fucking monster. Because basically all the monsters are like on the map. And when you're running around trying to go from place to place, you touch the monster and, or they may like jump out of the shadows and they attack you and stuff like that. You go into battle screen. Now say it's like a monster looks like a fucking spider. It jumps on you. You go into battle and it winds up being like a fucking huge ass tarantula that kills everybody in one hit.
What?
Yes. Nothing you can do about it. Game over. Or you'll get to a point where there's a boss. Like, I remember this one time I was fighting, and I had all these characters. I had, like, 3 or 4 characters, right? And I was fighting, gaining levels, gaining points. Like, you know, hit points, special points, and attack, and defense, and gaining mm-hmm. weapon mm-hmm. skill. And then the weapons break and stuff, and you gotta, like, get other weapons and stuff like that. And then I'm climbing up this, like, mountain, the snow-capped mountain, whatever, right? I get to the top, and there's a phoenix.
Okay.
Need I say more? There's a fucking phoenix at the top of the fucking snow-capped mountain. Kills everybody in 2 hits.
Nice.
But phoenix gives life. I don't understand that.
Well, this phoenix...
No, it's on snow.
This phoenix takes life and gives it to itself.
What? So it sounds like the biggest problem is balance.
Yes, it's an incredibly imbalanced game.
So you have to grind in order to beat those shits.
You can't grind. The monsters are on the map. You kill the monsters on the map, and that's it.
You can't respawn them later?
No, you cannot respawn them later.
That sucks.
You're expected to be at a certain level that totally exceeds the level that you can actually get.
Well, can you, like, go back to a town and then come back to the map and it'll be repopulated?
Because the way the story works is that... Saga Frontier 2 improved on this a bit mm-hmm. because it actually allows you to go to a town and upgrade and then go back into the field and do things like that. Mm-hmm. But Saga Frontier, the first one, you started out at a town.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that town, you ended up going into the zone. And you couldn't leave the zone.
Just like in real life.
So it was all one way. It was all one way. And that... you would get to the bus and it was like, oh, I'm fucked. I gotta delete my game and start over.
Right.
And I did that a couple of times. And then now it's just rotting in one of my CD cases. Actually, I think it's up here.
Is it oxidizing?
No, it's not oxidizing. Actually, no, my PlayStation games aren't up here. But I haven't had it for 21 years yet. So what I would do to improve that game is to give that game some sort of continuity. I understand that the point of the game was not to have continuity to it, but there needs to be some kind of continuity to start and to finish, because if you just pick somebody in the middle of the game and then you go back to somebody who you're supposed to play in the beginning of the game, then it's easy, and then you pick somebody who you're supposed to play like near the end, and then it's fucking butt-ass hard.
Oh, I get it now. So like all the characters that you pick have a certain degree of difficulty, and they don't really explain that.
Yes.
Oh, that's cock.
It's extremely strange, because it's like you could pick one of the characters who has all these difficult-ass enemies and stuff like that. And if you manage to survive that shit, you'll come out really strong.
Right.
But it's impossible to survive it because of the fact that they can kill you in one hit.
I love that game already.
And you hit them and you hit
you're
them.
An idiot, you're an idiot for hating that game.
See,
you suck.
Check this out. Now here's
you're a square hater fanboy.
Now, here's the other thing. The way the game works is that you have hit points. Your special points, and then you have life points. Now, what happens with your life points is that if you lose all your hit points,
game over.
You lose a life point.
It's kind of like Final Fantasy Legend 1, which is Saga 1, which was a pretty shitty game too.
Yeah. And so basically what happens is that...
three hearts.
You can lose like four people. Say you have five people, even though I think you can only have three or four. You lose all the HP on two out of the four people. They are knocked out.
Mm.
But if they can still get hit while they're knocked out.
What?
And when they get hit while they're knocked out, you lose more life points. And if you lose all of your life points, that character is dead.
Give that game to me right now. It sounds like the best game in the world.
So, see, the way that works is that, like, say you
screw survive. Halo. It's all about romance. It's all about Saga Frontier.
Say you survive with that remaining one character or two characters. The other characters will revive themselves with one HP at the end of the battle so that you can, like, heal them, sort of. But right. it makes absolutely no sense. And the only thing that's really good about this game is that
it's oxidizing,
yes. And that you can combine skills and shit like that. So, like, I cast fire and you cast, like, grass shit. And then... It'll set a big-ass fire and it'll be a stronger spell. Or, like, I cast, like, star magic for healing and you cast, like, water magic for healing. And then it heals, like, everybody because both of those spells will, like, heal one person.
When I was a young boy, my dream was to cast a spell that made grass grow. Now that dream is fulfilled. This game is awesome and you're an idiot.
Wait, and then I can cast a spell that'll set that grass that you grew on fire and hit everybody instead of just one person.
That is my dream, and this game is perfect, and I don't know what your problem is. How could you score it a -5 out of 20?
And this is how. Because I can play that... Shut up. I can play this game and do my fire spell, and you can do your grass spell, and it'll combine to this wonderful brush fire, right? Then I can turn off the game, start a brand new game, I can cast my fire, you can cast your grass, and it'll be two separate spells.
Huh?
So it's not consistent. You can't combine the spells and make like a double tech, quote unquote, all the time.
It randomly does it.
It randomly does it. It doesn't randomly do it. It's like
I love gambling. This game is awesome.
Let me tell you. I mean, it's like you want to do a combination to make a stronger spell, but it doesn't work. It like when it works, it becomes a spell that you can do, sort of. They have to do it in a proper order and things like that. So basically, like, if I go faster than you and I do my spell first and you do your spell and it combines to do this, like, wonderful two-part spell, that's great. Mm-hmm. Then what if, say, for example, you become faster than me? That spell ain't gonna work no more. But it may open the gate for another spell. But the thing is, I can do the spell twice in a row and it will work the first time and it won't work the second time. What kind of bullshit is that?
We've established that as gambling, and that's awesome.
Yeah, so I would take that out too.
You're banned as a reviewer. You can't review any more games because you have no good opinions on this marvelous game. What is wrong with you? Yeah, I cast thee off. Cut off your dreads.
So what about you, man?
Red Steel.
Oh, yes, Red Steel.
Red effing Steel.
Which is coming out with a sequel.
Yeah, that better be improved because okay. I've always said that it was a bad game, but if you do it right, it could be a good game. Because, I mean, it had the pieces in place there. What I said in my review that was shitty about it was it just is unpolished. I mean, you've got the bugs in that game were phenomenal. You've got, like, you walk into a room and you start shooting at some guys. You take down everybody but one. And there's this one guy standing there pointing his gun at you. He's not shooting you. He's not moving. He's not shouting insults at you. He's just standing there with his gun pointing at you. You circle around behind him. He's still facing in that same direction. You hit him with your gun. He doesn't die. He's just standing there. There's no pain animation. He's just standing there. You exit the room and you come back and he's still standing there. Apparently the developers forgot to make all enemy AI activate. There's another one where I was crouching by a table looking directly at a gangster with a gun looking at me. Instead of doing anything, all he did was put his gun down and then aim it again and then put it down and then aim it and then put it down and then aim it. Like he was getting ready to shoot, but he wasn't sure if he wanted to, so he put the gun down and then changed his mind again and was like, wait, maybe I should... No, wait. Can I shoot? And then when I finally shot him, he did something. I can't remember what that was, but I don't think it was what he was supposed to do.
That game sounds realistic.
There's also the Vitruvian Man, where if I open a door and walk in on an unsuspecting enemy, it'll be in Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man position with his arms out and his legs down, not doing anything. Kind of like the developers forgot to actually, you know, make him do stuff.
Oh, that.
That yeah, the so visit, familiar. You know that drawing where, like, the guy has his arms spread out and his legs like just kind of at shoulder width, and then like his arm, he kind of flaps his arms. That Leonardo da Vinci drawing. That's what it is.
You know, that's the standard way they draw models for some symmetry. So basically, it has never been programmed to do anything.
Exactly, it's just standing there.
Oh, my testing days come back.
Christ on a cross, what is going on with
Christ
that
game? Oh God, it's really, really, really bad. And then there, the whole turning thing is horrible. So that's the first thing I would improve is finish the game, maybe before you release it. The second thing I would improve is the aiming. I can't really fault. Well, I can, but I won't. Fault them too harshly for it because it's still experimental and you're still trying to figure out how the Wii remote works best for shooting. But the aiming is, you know, how do I say this to put it bluntly? Turtle head poking out of the ass, bad. I mean,
ass backwards
maybe. But now that we've first of all, Call of Duty 3 did it right. I'll stand by that. I don't care what anybody says. Call of Duty did it right, and Metroid Prime improved on that. So those are two examples of how to do aiming. So the next time Red Steel comes along, they should take that scheme and make that their standard. Not the whole move your cursor to the side of the screen in order to change your viewpoint. That should be an option that if people want that, yeah, they have it. But it's such a poor option. I don't know. Maybe it could benefit from a 180 turn. I don't know. Something like that. Lost Planet for the Xbox 360 has this thing where if you press the right or left bumper, the guy rotates 90 degrees. So maybe that'll help. Maybe that's cheating. I don't know. It'll be better than what we have now. Oh, and the sword fighting should be responsive for once because...
That should be a real sword.
Yeah, if they can manage it. And if not, they should just make it simpler and more responsive because the whole problem was that you could do these combination moves like... You could do like left, right, left, and that's a combo. Or you could do down, down, up. Like slash down twice and then slash up.
Right.
And your guy would do a combo. Or you could like take the nunchuck and remote and like slash him in opposite directions and do stuff. But it was so unresponsive that it just didn't work like 90% of the time. Unless you're a freaking idiot savant. I don't know how you could do that. And to learn these moves, it was pretty poor. To learn these moves, you had to go to the dojo and like, you know, pay some respect points and, you know, the dude's daughter would teach you these moves.
Oh!
Which is fine. No. You haven't heard me out yet. That concept of whatever, that's fine. Any game, you go and you buy moves. Whatever. Problem was, when you learn these moves, you are forced to do these three times in a row.
Oh!
Considering how poor the responsiveness was.
It was like 20 times in a row.
Yeah. You had to try to like... Well, I don't know if it was in a row. Maybe it was just three times, period. But that was bad enough. Like, some moves, yeah, they worked. Others, they just didn't. And, like, to have you need to make you do something three times and to have you actually end up spending, I don't know, 15 minutes trying to get that one move down just to do it three times shows you how unresponsive it is.
Sounds like True Crime a little, where you have to pay badge points to learn at a dojo, and then you have to do those moves in order to pass the...
Yeah, but the difference is with True Crime, you had buttons to use instead of waving your shit around and having it not work.
Yeah, I was going to say, the difference between True Crime and Red Steel is that True Crime, your moves actually worked when you did them.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this. Like, you swipe like up and down, and he like headbutts.
Jesus.
But he can't headbutt, but whatever. Oh, yeah, the last thing I'd improve is the voice acting. I mean, I don't walk – I've said this before, but I'll say it again. This specific example. I don't walk into a chop shop garage, see some big fat guy with a gold chain and Jerry curls come out, and have him talk to me like this. I'm going to teach you how to respect private property.
That's just terrible.
God.
Like,
that's awful.
No. 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 Bad developer. Bad developer.
Stop it.
Stop it. You shoot Stop that it. Chick because it's a figment of your imagination. Okay. I'm sure there's more I could do to improve this thing because it's horrible, but yeah. And the funny thing is there are plenty of people out there who like it, and more power to them. I wish I had your patience because the game is bad, period. What are your thoughts, Ethan? Moo! I think we'll put that shit to rest, that main bag of topic shit to rest, and we'll move on to the... bag of mails.
Bag of mails.
We're at the...
Do it now.
Do it. Go on.
I'm here. Kill me now. We're doing the mailbag now. We have two mailbag entries on it because you are stupid idiots.
Oh, yeah, still only two.
You idiot.
So the first question comes from contributor Amabella, who wrote our Madden opinion piece. Hey, guys, this is Anthony, Amabella from GameSpot. With the recent release of Lair for the PS3, some pretty bad reviews came with it. I didn't think it'd be the most awesome game ever, just because of Fire Breathing Dragons, but I thought it'd be pretty good. Looks like I was wrong. So I was wondering what are some games that you guys thought would be great, but ended up being really disappointing. Sorry if this question has been asked before. I don't think it has, so you're in the clear. To clarify to me, and I don't know if that applies for you guys too, but great but disappointing doesn't mean that it's a bag of shit game. It ends up being really disappointing in some ways, not all that it could be. Still might be an okay game. Who wants to go first? I'll flip the coin again.
I'm looking through my coin. I know I got plenty of them.
Bless you. Okay, heads is Al this time and tails is Tony. Heads! Best 2 out of 3. Tails! Drama. Oh, it's drama.
Drum roll.
Tails, Tony goes again.
I'm lucky. I would say Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter.
Okay.
Very highly anticipated. Looked awesome. Got it as soon as I saw it was played. Was just floored. And then I actually started playing it.
This is for the PC, correct?
PC, yeah. Okay. And I was hugely, hugely disappointed. First of all, it's very hard. Second of all, your AI is stupid. I mean, really fucking stupid. I don't even know who designed this AI. I don't know what they were thinking. What makes it worse also is that you have to use your scroll button on your mouse in order to control what moves you want your guys to do. So, like, you press the middle, you know, you press the mouse wheel, and it brings up a menu. And for the life of me, I don't even know why they have a menu. The AI is so stupid, it doesn't even follow anything you want to do anyway, you know? So it has, like, an option, say, to follow. Simple enough, right? Right? Well, guess what? Press follow. Where's your AI guy?
You're He's about following 10 blocks. The trash can.
Nope, you're about 10 blocks down. You're in the heat of fire now. You look around. You want to get some of your guys. Where the fuck's my guys?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Like, when I was reading the reviews on it, it was like the Xbox 360 version like totally eats it up and spits it out for breakfast because of the AI mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And the 360's AI was fine, which kind of is sad because PCs are better.
Yeah,
that's I said it. That's there, right. I seen it.
Take that, Microsoft. I just don't understand. I really don't. EA dropped a huge fucking medicine ball on this one. You know,
it's
just
not EA.
Like, it isn't EA. I thought
it was
EA.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Ghost Recon Tactical.
All the Tom Clancy games are Ubisoft games.
Really? Yeah. Okay, Ubisoft.
Yes.
It.
Welcome to world. Welcome to real life.
What was I thinking? EA.
You want to carry this here jar? You carry it.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, but everything else about the game is fantastic. It's just, I don't understand what was going on. And I was really looking forward to this because I would like to play online, you know, with the other guys. But I got to tell you, we can't do teams. We just can't. The AI's just fucking stupid.
Well, you can do teams. Can you do teams if, like, four human people?
Yeah, you can't do that. But, like, if what we do is we usually have like, if I play against Ethan, he'll have his own team. And I'll have my own team. You know, that way...
It'll just be a deathmatch then. You might as well play, like, fucking Half-Life deathmatch.
Whatever. I mean, that probably has better fucking... I don't know. This game, the AI was just terrible. There's really nothing else about it that I could... Honestly, I can't say because that just put me off to playing it.
To playing it?
And I didn't...
To playing it? Oh, to playing it. I thought you said the planet and you mispronounced it.
To playing it? No.
I was like, what?
From playing it, yeah.
Yes.
No, I didn't play it. After that, I was like, this is fucking dumb. I just can't believe this game is so, you know, it's not poorly designed. It's just that. So that's it.
Al, have you found your game?
Oh, yes.
What'd it be?
It is Lord of the Rings Return of the King.
I thought you liked that game. A lot.
It was a game I liked. I highly enjoyed The Two Towers.
That's the one. Okay,
fantastic.
Sorry.
You know, it was very epic, and it was action-oriented. It was fantastically stupendous.
Short.
Frodo's game.
And, well, it wasn't really short. Unless you, like, blew through the game, you were, like, really awesome at it. But yeah. It was hard, and I managed to finish it, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, man, I can't wait for the Return of the King because it's going to be two players, and it's going to be excellent. You can, like, play online and stuff like that.
Yeah, horse.
So, yeah, I rented this game, and I played it online.
On your is it PS2 version?
Yeah, I played the PS2 version.
Okay.
Because while the GameCube version probably had better graphics, it didn't online. Have online.
Thanks, Nintendo!
Yeah, thanks a lot. So, it's perfect. I was playing with shitty PS2 graphics. And I was playing online with some guy, and it was hilariously ridiculous, the least.
ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah, that too. Basically, you start out, I was playing like Legolas, he was playing like Aragorn, right? And we're fighting in the fields, like in the beginning or something like that. I don't remember what stage it was. Fighting out in the fields, I get my ass handed to me, hardcore, because the game is so difficult. And then he's still fighting, right? And so I resurrect, and then I fight, and I get my ass handed to me almost as quickly as the first time.
You suck.
And then the game is over. That's it. He's still alive, right?
You the game suck. Is get out of here.
Over
to break
for
the fuck
everybody.
Out.
Just because you died twice?
Because I used up all the lives. And even though I used up all the lives, he's still alive fighting. Game's over.
You suck at game.
Then I was like, okay, maybe I need to go play this game by myself. Because the first thing I did was I played online thinking, oh, it's two towers. It's no problem. So I go play by myself. And I do that level where, Aragorn goes into the cave and he realizes he's, like, the king. And he, like,
you're spoiling for all the Tolkien nerds. You're spoiling it. Don't spoil the movie for me. I didn't see it yet.
Sorry, go ahead.
If you didn't see it, you're not a Tolkien-y.
That's true. That's
and,
true.
So you have to go through this
thing. Hate it.
Ghosts and stuff like that, right? And the game is so hard. It is so difficult that it would take you like 3 hours to pass a level.
You guys are sick. You're whiners. It's too hard. I need my milk.
Because the game was like, it was halfway responsive. That's one reason why it was hard. And the collision was off. That's another reason why it was hard.
Your face was off.
And the third reason was that the AI was completely unstoppable. They will block everything you do.
Oh, shit.
Everything. So on top of you not being
don't
so
play Ninja Gaiden then.
No. This is different.
Xbox, I mean, not NES.
Well, on that, I mean, Xbox. It's probably different because of the fact that you can actually see what you're doing half of the time, too.
Ninja shroud in darkness must learn to fight blind.
Yes, you can see. There's lots of reasons why that game was bad, and it's pretty evident. And I expected it to be excellent, like a really great follow-up to Two Towers, and it was a really lackluster follow-up. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I seen it.
Okay. Now you. What'd you
see?
I
got two games. Doom 3 and Metroid Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
Doom 3 is self-explanatory. It's not a fun first-person shooter. Sorry. It's a little scary game. Yeah, it's intense. But I think the whole monster in a closet come out behind you every time you enter a room wore thin maybe about 70 years ago. I don't know. Somewhere around there.
They made movies like that 70 years ago?
Oh,
sure.
Oh, man.
Wow.
No, they made Doom games like that 70 years ago.
Oh, wow. Charlie Chaplin coming out of a closet. And then you see...
the whole problem with the game is just freaking... The reason why I like Doom so much is because it managed to be scary, but it was also chaotic. There's a lot of shit going on. In this game, as far as I've played it so far, for maybe a couple of hours, it's like two zombies in a room, or three, shuffling towards you, and then like an imp. Okay, the imps are scary. Yeah, they crawl on the walls and stuff, and they like come towards you. But like otherwise, it's so... It basically is testament to the saying that John Carmack is not a game designer. He's a technologist. Because the design is all, like, it's antiquated. And it's just, like, you kind of wish that John Romero kind of came in and said, dude, let's put a freaking barrel here, and these demons coming out of these closets there, and have everything surround you. At the very least, that would be kind of intense and, like, more hectic than it is already. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's, like, Resident Evil first-person shooter with lots of ammo. And it's not compelling anymore. Maybe it gets better later on, but it was just, like, I was like, you know what? I'd rather play Far Cry or Half-Life 2. Like, right. They eat the shit out of this game. The other one, Metroid Fusion, staying true to my definition of disappointing, where a game can still be good, just disappointing. Mm-hmm. I suppose this is only valid from a Metroid fanboy standpoint, but it didn't feel like a Metroid game to me as much as the others did. It kind of felt I felt too guided, and it felt too I don't want to say like isolation or whatever, because Metroid Prime 3 kind of doesn't really leave you alone. Because there are a lot of NPCs in that game.
Yeah.
But it more so than in any other game, Metroid Fusion was kind of just like, okay, this guy is consistently talking to you, and it's like you always feel comfortable. And the whole thing about Metroid was I always liked it because it never made me feel comfortable.
Right.
You always by yourself.
It always made me feel on edge and like wanting to fucking get out of there.
Right. Right.
And move and keep on moving, and Fusion was eh.
My complaint about that game was that it's too much of the same. It's too much of the first one, you know. Except
really?
For the
Fusion was too much of the first Metroid. I thought it was completely the opposite.
No, I felt it was kind of like the same thing.
Completely the opposite. They're totally different games. Metroid 1 was open, and you were kind of clueless. Metroid Fusion was closed. They guided you every which way you went. They flashed these stupid little things like, "Oh, go here now," and the guy would tell you every which way exactly what to do and how to do it. And that's what that's what disappointed me about it.
I'm talking about gameplay.
Huh? I am talking about gameplay, too.
Well, he's talking about, like, control and how the game flows.
Oh, well, every single Metroid controls that way.
If it wasn't, I don't think it would be Metroid.
Yeah.
Like, how every Castlevania game operates.
Controls the same way. But, like, what disappointed me most about it was that whole factor of, you know, it takes away from the atmosphere. Which, again, doesn't make it a bad game. It just is slightly disappointing. So, Doom 3 and Metroid Fusion are my picks for shit. Not shit, but disappointing shit. Next one. Edu Buccaneer says, last week something awful happened. My GameCube memory card was corrupted. The circumstances were so ridiculous it's almost funny. But the result tops that in awfulness. I was backing up some files. He says back upping. It's backing up. Some files from my own. Hey, English is a second language.
Back that shit up.
I know.
English is a second language. I was backing up some files from my main card to my secondary card made by Mad Cats. That was your mistake. Never buy a third-party thing. And the save picture for one of the games was Paper Mario. Got all messed up, and the text turned to gibberish. I tried turning the game on and loading, but the game insisted on formatting my card, saying it was corrupted. Long story short, I lost about 4 years of GameCube game progress, so 100% save files on Baten Kaito, Scars of Arcadia, Zelda, Mario, and Eternal Darkness. Even more, I can't remember now. With that in mind, I'd like to ask crew, how crazy are you with your save games? Do you keep them safe even after exhausting yourself with a certain game? Do you back them up somewhere or buy more memory cards to keep them, or do you just delete them after they serve their purpose? Even on the PC with storage capacity, do you worry about this? Yes, I do. I keep every single save unless I don't care about the game at all.
Hell
me too,
yeah.
And I don't understand
I'm crazy
why.
About that shit. Yeah. I'm such a pack rat when it comes to save games. You know, on my PS2 memory card, I have the save games from Silent Hill 1, Diablo 1, you know, that was on the original PlayStation 1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I backed it up on a PS2 card, but I have two other PlayStation 1 memory cards that have the same information. So it really doesn't make any sense. I'm just like, oh, well, if that goes, I got to have it here. You know, so, yeah. And I also have a big 1 gig cartridge that was for the Sega CD with, like, literally thousands of saves from different games. Yeah, I'm crazy about that shit.
I think, I don't think we're crazy for that, though. I think it's like we want to be able to know that, like, we want evidence that we beat the game. And like, in old cartridges, like, we had two or three save slots, like, for Final Fantasy VI, for example, and we could keep one save slot with that level 99, 99999,
right.
And everything.
Right.
And
right.
Use the other slots. And, like, with memory cards, like, it's the same thing. I think that nowadays, with the advent of achievements for Xbox 360, maybe you can delete your game saves and still have the achievement so that you can tell people, hey, I beat this. I just deleted my save to save space. But it will become more concerning, because I remember the save files for Deus Ex on PC are huge. Like, every single save file is maybe, like, 6 to 8 megabytes.
Wow, a lot of variables.
And remember that this game came out in, like, 2000 or something, or 2000, yeah, 1999 or 2000, so, like, that's a lot, that's a large save file for the time.
Jesus.
And especially
how long did it took, like, 10 minutes to save?
No, didn't take that long to save, but In order for you to like have a full experience, you want to experiment around with Deus Ex and have a lot of different save files for what if I did this, what if I did that. So that shit quickly adds up. You get like 10 save files at 60 megs, like right off your hard drive right there.
Wow.
So that it's huge. So maybe this will become a problem. Maybe they'll, you know what Steam does, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I could have sworn that Steam holds your save files for Half-Life 2, because I think I uninstalled the game and then reinstalled it and like couldn't find my save folder and Steam still kept it.
Hmm.
No, you know what? I'm wrong. It doesn't do that. Never mind. I'll shut up now. any other? Oh yeah, wait. Let me finish reading this. There's a little bit more to it. Oh yeah, props to Al for finally coming to GameSpot. It's great reading out experiences with Metroid. Keep it up. He's actually been on GameSpot for as long as I have. It's just that he didn't blog. That's all.
Yeah. But thanks, because it's kind of like the same thing as welcoming, because now I'm actually like, you know, a part of the community.
Right. And, pwned by Alex Navarro in Guitar Hero. He actually joined the league, so.
Yeah. Wait, who's pwned by
you.
Alex Navarro?
You.
How?
In the Guitar Hero League.
How?
In the Guitar Hero League.
But I just started, what?
I'm making fun of you.
No, I'm not. I'm going to whoop his ass. That's right, Alex. I'm coming out for you. That's it. Anyway, in reference to save files, I just have a funny moment that I thought of, because I got my girlfriend playing Eternal Darkness.
Uh-huh.
It was apparently, she said she wanted to play a boy game.
A boy
and,
game?
Yeah, and I was like, let's see, what do you mean? She's like, I want to shoot stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really have too many things that you can shoot stuff in without me sitting right next to you, shooting stuff next to you, so... Let me choose a game that maybe... Okay, Eternal Darkness.
You can like, cut people's heads off.
Yeah. So I got her started with that, and when it came time to save, I went through the memory card.
Oh, no.
And every single slot on that memory card is taken except for one. And it's like the very first time I finished a game, the second time I finished a game, the end of the third, because I haven't finished it for the third time, and then it has like some other people's playing games or like in the middle of like some of the other segments, and I'm like, I don't know which one to delete, so you're gonna have to use this empty one. And so she's using the empty one, and I'm like, damn, I really saved like all my save files.
Did I play any of that? Because you delete those.
No, this was me and one of Rob's old friends and me.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the last remarks, we go housekeeping.
Keep the house,
man. Keep the house. Okay. On the site, we've got a new review from Jedi Skills 173, better known in the real world as Eric. He's been doing those video features for us, which are awesome. He reviewed Two Worlds for the Xbox 360. Here's a quote from the review. Two Worlds in the Xbox 360 is a new role-playing experience for the Xbox 360, one of the Western RPG variety with action-adventure combat sporting built-in multiplayer elements. So this is a kind of a first for 360. he gives it a, I won't tell you because you have to watch it. they also allowed me to post my editorial from Aeropause.com. This toy is rated M for Mature, so you can actually find it on the site right now, right under the entry for episode 60. Zaps, aka Ben Lee, also, I forgot to pimp this last time, he wrote a review for this game called Sherlock Holmes The Awakened. This was posted on the 17th of August, and it's still the headlining review, so it's right on the front page. Plugging other podcasts, don't forget to listen to the On Point podcast, which I have not seen a new episode for in about 7 months. GameSpot.com/user/MarshyMan50, and as always, GameSlaves Radio at GameSlaves.net. Riven is moving, and I don't know if he's gotten his internet back yet, so I don't know when the next episode will be. The last one was 25. Give him a shout. Throw him some emails. And throw us some emails at where?
Mailbag!
Trygames.net.
Mailbag at trygames.net. Email us. Mailbag. MAILBAG at TRIGAMES.NET. Mailbag at trygames.net. Send us questions. Send us answers. Send us your bag of shit. And it's about time to start thinking about a new contest. We'll let you wait in suspense. Because I just pulled that out of my ass. All right. For Tony. For Al.
Wep, wep, wep.
For Ethan. Moo. Yeah. Jew.
Go home, Jew.
I have been your host, Austin Chupon, and we out.
You take that penis and you shoot it. You shoot it in the head because it doesn't exist.
And what? It's got a toupee like Dave Coulier. You pop that top off, then you shoot him in the balls.
Pop the top.
Dave,
we gotta lay back and pop tops.
You know, we're sitting by the fireplace with a Nantucket nectar. Pop the top. LL's flavor should be for everybody.